Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. Good luck getting through this message today. There is so much happening in this room, so much that God has birthed over the last few days. I bring greetings from my wife, Rebecca, and my three beautiful daughters. As you've heard, Stella, Mia, and Ivana, they praying for you. Our church back in Adelaide, Australia, is praying for you last week. This is actually the only speaking engagement I've taken, simply because we've planted a new church 5 months ago, and being away from church when you've just planted a church is a big thing. But I'd made a commitment to this family. We were in worship and I said to Pastor Candace, I said, I love this church. She looked at me like kind of, you know, I don't know what was going through her mind, whether that's, you know, that's what friends say. I said, no, you don't understand. I love this church. I love this family. I love your pastors. I have received way more than I've given, so I'm indebted to you. I love your pastors. I love what God is doing in this place. You just need to know, and I say this with all my heart, this is why I felt to say this publicly. I've not said this to Pastor Byron and Candace, but you have a brother in Australia that has your back. If this church ever needed anything, if this church ever went through a challenging season, which it's not going to, but if it ever went through a challenging time, you need to know it's a simple phone call. I will get on a plane at my own expense. I will do whatever I can do. I love this house. I love your pastors. You have the most authentic pastors and church. I'm not going to go into my story, but basically in challenging seasons, you discover some rich things. We're going to talk about fighting fire with fire in a moment. I'm trying to keep myself calm because I know where this is going, okay? But in challenging seasons, you discover who's with you. And your pastors, I'm standing here today because I have a handful of people across the world that reached out to me and ministered to me in my time of greatest need. And your pastors are what we call real covenant friends. They have me for life, whether they want it or not. They have me for life. You have a rich treasure and heritage in this house. The pastors that birthed this house and the pastors that are leading this house moving forward and the team that's coming through. I just feel like there's so much inside of me. I haven't got to my introduction yet. So much inside of me. I just want to say this to you. As I was in prayer this morning, by the way, before I even get into that, could we honor your pastors, Pastor Byron and Candace? You have the most extraordinary. You are blessed. You are blessed. I was in prayer this morning, Pastor Byron and Candace. I feel like I've got to release this. I absolutely believe that this is the beginning of something that you will not be able to control. And I know you don't want to control it, but it'll be like wildfire. This is why I feel like the theme that God gave me as I was preparing for conference was the theme of the early church. And that's why I make the statement that whatever the fire touches, it ignites. I absolutely believe it'll be like wildfire. I absolutely believe, you look at the time of the early church, Jesus has come, I'm stating the obvious, the Word had come. And then the Spirit was sent. And when Word and Spirit combine, revival breaks out, right? I think it was Miss Wigglesworth that said the next revival on the earth will be a revival when Word and Spirit come together. And this is a house that has a very healthy value of the Word and a very healthy understanding of Spirit. Now, if this is new to you, just bear with me. If this is new language to you, just stay with us. The team will explain a little later on. I don't have time to explain everything I'm going to say. But I just feel like I need to release this, right? Word and Spirit together. There are parts of the body of Christ that say, no, we're a Word church. And there are parts of the body of Christ that say, we're a Spirit church. Word church without Spirit and Spirit churches without Word. But what God has beautifully combined in this house is a depth of Word and a healthy understanding of a move of the Holy Spirit. And when Word and Spirit come together, revival breaks out. I want to encourage you, it's not just because of renovations at Edenvale that God has brought us together today, right? It's not just because of renovations. I absolutely believe in the book of Acts, it says they were in one place in one accord and the Spirit of God broke out. And it didn't break out for them to have an encounter meeting because they didn't build a monument to that upper room. You can't visit that upper room today because that upper room, they went out from there, right? So it's what's going to happen in the room that'll go out of the room to transform the world around us. And our world needs transformation. It doesn't just need good gatherings, it needs good going, right? And I absolutely believe, Pastor Byron and Candace, to get yourselves ready, because I believe, I know that you are the leaders of a movement here, but I believe this church, I really feel this strongly, this church is called to lead the movement with you. There is something that's in this place that's going to influence the movement and influence beyond the movement, because word and spirit has come together. And as a church, can I encourage you to continue to steward that, continue to believe that, continue to receive that, and be a people that are ready to receive word and come expecting that the Spirit of God is going to move in your hearts and lives, because He wants to bring revival to this great nation of South Africa. I love this country. I love that we beat the Kiwis in the rugby. Amen. Right? If Australia can't win, South Africa might as well win. Right? I'm one of those supporters. I just jump on whoever's winning at the time. I love this nation. Do you know that I've traveled the world, but this nation is the nation I come to the most. And I said to my wife when I was leaving, and our elders prayed for me and our church said, we are sending you with our prayers to that great nation. I've said it to them many, many times. There is something about this nation that has got into my heart. I don't know what it is. I know it's my friends, but I know that there is something greater that God wants to do in this great nation. And so I'm just praying over you that you would receive that word of encouragement, because I believe it's going to be like wildfire. Ignite wasn't a theme to put as a brand on a screen. It was a commission from heaven to earth to bring about a miracle in this nation. Amen. Amen. Oh, I feel like I unloaded something there. It's done now, right? Let's go home. At Ignite Conference, we've learned some things. And for those that weren't here, just encourage you, get a hold of recordings, get whatever you can and get it back into you, right? We've learned about what it means to prepare the fire. We've learned what it means to catch the fire. We've learned what it means to fuel the fire. And yesterday we learned what it means to spread the fire. But as we step into this next stage, I believe I want to share with you what it means to fight fire with fire. We are living in unprecedented times as a humanity, and there is absolutely no doubt the enemy is terrified and Christ is on the throne. Make no mistakes about it. The future of the church is greater than its past, because Jesus is coming back for a magnificent bride. He is a victorious Savior. He is a reigning king. He is on the throne. He will have His way, but it needs a people ignited on fire for God to fight fire with fire. There is a war on for our generation. There is a war on for your kids. There is a war on for our youth and our young adults. Where are the youth and young adults? And where are the adults that feel young? Right, so you're included as well. I'm going to be turning 50 this year, so I'm calling myself a young adult. I'm an adult that feels young, and everybody said, yeah. That was not a time to laugh. I am a young adult at heart, right? We're going to learn what it means. How do we make it through the fire that surrounds us? Can anyone relate to me that the enemy's wanting to throw us in the fire? The enemy's wanting to burn us out. The enemy is wanting to shut us down, silence our voice. Silence the hope that we have, the message that we carry. And we need to know how to fight fire with fire. In Australia, we experience a lot of bushfires. I don't know if it ever makes the news here, but they can be devastating. Hundreds of lives lost, houses lost. But what they do is they do a thing that we call, I'm not sure if they do it here, but they do a thing called backburning, where they actually go ahead of the fire and begin to light fires that backburn and overcome the bushfire, right? We can go ahead as the people on fire for God to fight fire with fire, right? People on fire. And we're going to look at a historic moment recorded in the book of Daniel that I believe relates specifically to the times in which we live. We actually just sang that song just previously that comes from this very account in Scripture. There was four young men who fought fire with fire. Now, for those that are new to all of this, I'm just going to try and give you as much context. If you've never been in a church like this, you're in a great place, right? There was a king called Nebuchadnezzar who had taken some of God's people captive, and now he was wanting to control and shape these young men's lives to suit his plans. And it says in the scriptures in Daniel 1, verse 4, that the king said, "Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men." He said, "Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace." Watch this. "And train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon." Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. Shift their culture. Change their identity. Minister to them. Speak to them. Disciple them. That's why discipleship is critical within the church, because if we think discipleship is too much within the church, the enemy will say, "Great, give them to me because I'll disciple them in my culture and in my literature, and I'll transform their identity into the thing that I want them to become." Oh, it's too much. Come on, it's too much to go along to youth, and it's too much for our kids to go along to conference. It's Thursday night, it's Friday night, it's Saturday. It's too much to get into church on a Sunday. Well, the enemy's going, "Great, well, I'm going to get to their phones, and I'm going to get into their bedrooms, and I'm going to minister to them, and I'm going to speak to them, whether they're children or whether they're youth or whether they are young adults." We're all the young adults, right? "I'm going to speak to them," because he's wanted to shift our culture. He was looking for those who had everything going for them, hoping to change their identity and make them fit into their culture. We too have everything going for us. We are children of God. We are called of God. We are gifted by God with a purpose from God. And the enemy's intent is to change our identity and make us fit into his culture. Isn't identity under attack? Can I just say this? You know, there are parts in Australia that what I'm about to say will put me in jail. Male and female, he created them. This is why a man, scripture says, leaves his mother and father and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. That's the way God created it. But the enemy is wanting to mess with our identity. Now, if there's anyone in the room that's struggling with their identity, can I encourage you, don't find your identity in the culture of the day. Find your identity in the creator of heaven and earth, and you will discover the richness of who you were made to be. Oh, I'm getting going. Are you with me? Daniel 1, 6 and 7. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. So take notes. It says this: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. If you're looking for names for baby boys, there they are. Were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff, look at this, renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. Now, just a little spoiler alert. Right, it's like the guy that ruins the movie. Let me let you know what happens at the end, and then we're going to make our way there. Right? Three men get thrown into a fiery furnace for not bowing to the king of the day and to the commands of the day, and they make it to the end and everyone lives happily ever after. Amen, right? Just a little spoiler alert to let you know what's about to happen. These three men fought fire with fire, and I just want to put some things in your hands that will help you. How many can agree with me that the enemy wants to throw us into the fire? How many can agree with me that the enemy is calling us to bow our knee to the idols of the world around us? And we need to know how these men fought fire with fire. How do they fight fire with fire? Number one, through their connections. We each have an individual message to bring to the world, but there is a message we carry in our connection that we cannot carry in isolation. There is a message that we bring as Thrive Church together that we don't carry as individuals separated, right? You see, we often remember these guys by their Babylonian names.
But those names were given to change their identity. Now, you've done nothing wrong if you go, well, it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's actually their Babylonian names. We just sang about, and I won't sing because I don't want to ruin the atmosphere. Right? Every one of us has a gift. Singing was not mine. Auto-tune will happen in heaven for me. Okay? But we sang about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their Babylonian names. The enemy wants us to remember the identity he changed them into. Now, to those who are a worship team, we're going to go back to that song a little later on. Don't feel you need to change the lyrics, but it'll just be a reminder to you, okay? Check this out, because this is what the enemy doesn't want our connection to declare. Have a look at their original names. Their original name, Daniel, means God is my judge. Hananiah means the Lord is grace. Mishael means who is God, and Azariah means the Lord helps. That was their original name, but the enemy doesn't want your life declaring what your name declares. Have a look at what their name declares. God is my judge, the Lord is grace. Who is God? He is the Lord who helps. Their divine connection was a communication to the community around them. The message that they carried in their connection was a message to the world around them. God is my judge. The Lord is grace. That's why I gave you a spoiler alert. What did their life declare at the end? Well, God is my judge. The Lord is grace. Who is God? He's the one who helps. And the enemy wants to rob our identity so that our connection won't speak communication to the world around us about what God created us to be. He placed them in divine connection to bring a combined message to their world. The person on your left and on your right didn't just randomly find their seat there. God has divinely connected us together. He's connected you together. And there is a message we have in our connection that isn't a message we have in isolation. God is my judge and He is grace. Who is God? He's the Lord who helps. God divinely connects us with friends and our connection carries a message. If we're going to fight fire with fire, let me tell you, we don't just need friendly association. We need godly connection. We need one another. Now, I know that God does things individually in our lives, but He sets the lonely in families. We need godly connection. Number two, we need conviction. Convictions are a firmly held belief or opinion. This is massive in our day and age because the enemy is wanting to bring about concepts and ideas and blended message. He created them male and female. He's wanting to blend the message and create opinions like He did in the garden. Did God really say? This is why we need to be a people of the Word and of the Spirit. As a contemporary preacher, if I am contemporary, I don't know. I'm just the preacher of the Word. That's why I use so much Scripture. You know why? Because we need to get the Word of God back into our hands because we don't form opinions. We need to have God-breathed convictions. And there are certain things in Scripture that are just clear, but we have a world that is trying to muddy the waters. And we, if we're going to fight fire with fire, we need to be a people of conviction, not convenience, people of conviction, not opinion. Is anybody with me? Are people who understand the Word of God and are unapologetic and unafraid? I've prepared my family. I'm not wanting to go to jail, but I've prepared my family and I've prepared my church. I will preach the Word of God. Whatever it takes, I will preach the Word of God. Now, yes, we use wisdom, but we don't use compromise. I will preach the Word of God. And if it means that I have to go through persecution, I'm tired of just preaching about men who stood on the Word of God. We need men and women today that would take a stand and live for their godly convictions. Ooh, calm down. Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel was determined. May God give us youth and young adults like this. May God give us seniors. Seniors, you need to find your voice again. Do not allow the enemy to silence you. You are not past your use by date. You are still alive and breathing because God still has a plan and purpose for you. Please speak those convictions that were birthed in your heart 40, 50 years ago when you encountered Christ for the first time. Be someone who would stand up and speak the truth of the Word of God. Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. So he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. And I love how Daniel throws his friends into it. He just says, please test us. Do it for all of us, right? Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel said at the end of 10 days, see how we look. He never lost hold of his connection. See how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. They had firmly held beliefs and they refused to compromise even on the things that seem like they're okay to compromise in. It's just a meal. It's just a party. It's just an image. It's just a drink. People will call me a legalist for this, but let me tell you, I want to point people back to purity and holiness. And young people, don't be afraid to hold on to your convictions. Don't be afraid to say no to certain things because you're going to hold tight. And the time will come where the world will look in on your convictions and go, these guys look a lot healthier. Their relationships look healthier. Their families look healthier. Their marriage looks healthier. Their community looks healthier. People are going to walk into this place and go, I don't know what it is. The amount of new people that are in this room, you might have already walked in and go, what is it about this place? Are these people like this, like happy all the time? No, it's not happiness, because happiness is connected to happenings. It's joy that's connected to Christ. It's a joy that goes beyond circumstances. There's something about a people of conviction. You see, the king's food would have been considered unclean by Jewish standards, would have been dedicated to Babylonian gods. So they refuse to compromise. Isn't the enemy constantly trying to feed us and shape our identity with unclean food? Beware of your online content. Beware of what you're allowing into your eye gate. Beware of the movies we watch. Beware of the Netflix series we binge. It's not innocent. Don't say to yourself, well, I can handle it now, I'm an adult. No, I don't want impure things. The scriptures tell us that whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. They just refuse to defile themselves. What are we feeding ourselves with? Do we compromise? Do we live with the fire of conviction? Do we refuse to defile ourselves? These friends stood by their convictions, and this is wonderful. Their results were undeniable. Now, if one of them was healthy, they would have said it was luck. It could have been reduced to chance or physical uniqueness. But the result of their combined conviction, I want you to miss this, the result of their combined conviction left nothing to chance. It was undeniable. God's ways work. So when they look in and they say, well, you know, Pastor Kulu, he's just cool. He just is. And so it must have just worked for him. But when all of a sudden they walk up an aisle and they see another person who's got a healthy life and another person who's living a healthy life and another marriage that's succeeded through the difficult times and another family that's raising amazing children, they begin to say, hang on a minute, it could have been one. But now we're seeing their combined connection and their combined conviction, and we're starting to see, hang on a minute, God's ways actually work. Your combined message, can the non-youth just bear with me for a second. I just really felt a burden in this as I was in prayer. Youth and young adults, I believe in this house, your combined message is going to affect people. If you come into connection and you come into conviction. Daniel 1:17 says, God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding. May there be an unusual aptitude in this house. In every aspect of literature and wisdom, and God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. And when the training period ordered by the king was complete, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them. May this be the story of the people of this house. No one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service, and whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. What am I saying? When you go into your workplace tomorrow with the fire that God has placed inside of you, there will be something about your convictions that makes you 10 times wiser in understanding. You will find, some of you will find yourself in boardrooms speaking the wisdom of heaven, because we don't need to water down the wisdom of heaven to appeal to a boardroom. Business people, appeal to the wisdom of heaven and then bring the wisdom of heaven to that boardroom and watch God promote you to places of influence, spheres of influence in government, in education, in entertainment, that we would go into those spaces as people of connection and as people of deep conviction. If we're going to fight fire with fire, we don't need a people who compromise. We need godly convictions. Number three, we need communication. The king had a disturbing dream. None of the wise men were able to interpret the dreams. So the king actually ordered all the wise men, including these young men, to be killed. He was so disturbed. Now, I haven't got time to go into this. That dream is still being outworked historically today. But Daniel 2:17, Daniel went home and told his friends. In a disturbing moment, when they were going to be killed, he knew his connections and he knew those who had conviction, and he knew what their communication would be. He told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened, and he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. And that night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision, and then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Oh, that we would be a people that when the enemy is confronting us, when we're confronted in our schools, when we're confronted in our universities, when we're confronted in our workplaces, when we're confronted in our families, that we would not go to a place where we're looking for a healthy way to compromise our convictions, but that we would find people that we can call on and say, let us pray and get the wisdom of heaven. We have godly connection, godly conviction, and godly communication. Do we have people we can call on to pray? My house shall be called a house of prayer. Prayer is not our last resort. It's our first privilege. Do you get what prayer is? Prayer is communication with the creator of heaven and earth. Prayer is communication with the one who gives dreams and the one who interprets it. Prayer is communication with the one who is Alpha and Omega, the one who knows the end from the beginning. Prayer is communication with the one that will give you that divine strategy in that boardroom that will turn the whole situation around. Prayer is communication with the one who is the ruler of South Africa. South Africa and Australia are not in the hands of politics. They are in the hands to the living God who has a great plan and a purpose. We get to communicate with heaven and get the wisdom of heaven. Wow. May prayer come alive inside of our churches. If we're going to fight fire with fire, we don't need to state the obvious. We don't need to quote the facts. We don't need to say it's impossible. We don't need to speak fear. If we're going to see a breakthrough in this great nation, we need to communicate with God and seek his wisdom. We're going to fight fire with fire. Number four, I'm nearly done. If we're going to fight fire with fire, we need courage. The king built a statue commanding everyone to bow and worship his statue every time a particular sound was made. Isn't that our world today? Might not be physical statues, but isn't our world calling us to the bow, to the worship of self, to man-made idols? And then when we don't, we're at risk of landing in the fire. Can I let you in on a miracle? Do you want to hear a miracle?
Yes.
I'm not on social media and I'm alive. It's true. I'm not on social media. Now, some of you might have found my account. I've not used it for years, right? I've never had a Facebook account. I was born in 1653. I know, I look amazing, right? I'm not anti-social media. I believe we can use it for good. I just felt a personal conviction to lead the way in my generation. But haven't we been convinced? We've given everyone a platform. That's why it's called a social media. And we gave everyone a microphone. Tell the world your opinion. Is it any wonder we're living in a protest culture? Is it any wonder that everyone feels like they're a preacher with opinions? I'm not even talking about preacher of Christian values, just the preacher. Everyone's got something to say to the world. And then I've got to present the best version of me. It's never the ugly version of me, is it? It's the filtered version. Apparently, just a little insight for those who want to be on social media, the left side of your face is the best part of your photo. So if you're going to take a selfie, go on the left side. Just don't say, I didn't help you today. I helped you with something. But isn't he trying to convince us? You can't do without it. I mean, how can you be a modern pastor and not have millions of followers? Like, how are you going to influence the world? Well, apparently I'm here. It worked. All glory to God. Right? It still works. We need courage. We need courage to not participate in certain things, to not shy away from certain things, to not just sit around at that table that's gossiping. Oh, that went really close somewhere. Like, it felt like I just threw out a grenade and a couple of things exploded. We need courage to shut that conversation down, because doesn't the enemy say, just be nice? I'm not talking about telling people off and being aggressive. I'm just talking about sometimes someone just needs to make a stand. And actually, you know what? In a community of faith, it's the ability to slow it down and say, hey, hang on a minute. I'm not trying to rebuke you. I'm not trying to do any of that. Hey, could we just turn this conversation around and let's speak about the wonders of God? Could we turn this conversation around and let's open up scripture? Could we turn this conversation around? Yeah, there might be that problem within the church, but maybe I am the church. So maybe we should just connect, and maybe we should just communicate with the creator of heaven and earth. And rather than present the problem, maybe we should just pray together and seek the solution rather than gossip about the problem. But anyway, I didn't mean to say that. But maybe we just need courage. Courage not to post that photo. Could I say this? Courage not to dress that way. I mean, I get on a plane in a couple of weeks, I go home, so I've got courage to say these things. I'm not going to agree with that narrative. I'm sorry. I preached a message, it's not the message I'm preaching today, and while I've been here, I've been contacted by a politician who now wants to meet with me and say, I heard that message, we need to talk. It's a message that confronts the war in our generation. I'm not going intimidated because I've got to meet a politician. I'm not going to negotiate with a politician. I'm going to be a representative. I'm an ambassador, just like you are, an ambassador of another kingdom. And we must see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we don't do that through compromise. We do that through conviction. Daniel 3:12, there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice they started changing their names when they didn't like them. Who you have put in charge in the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you've set up. See, whatever we bow to is the thing we serve and worship, and we're called to worship only God. What are we bowing to in the culture around us? That today we just need to make a conviction stand. Verse 16 of Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their connection and their conviction replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, together their connection, their conviction, and their communication came out in their courage. We do not need to defend ourselves before you. Just a little side note, I'm just thinking about this as I'm preaching this. Doesn't the enemy convince the church that we should be on the defensive? Like somehow we're on a level playing field. Just a little insight. The devil is not on a level playing field with you. He's a loser. He lost. Christ won. And he's spending all his time trying to convince us that somehow we're in a battle, that we're just waiting for the climax. We're just going to wonder whether, for all those that are with me, whether Rocky is going to knock out the opponent. Little spoiler alert, Jesus has already won. Full stop. We are not here to negotiate. We don't need to defend ourselves. Don't go into your workplace tomorrow feeling like you need to defend yourselves. You just need to stand because you are a victorious people. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. So they spoke with honor, but conviction. But even if he doesn't, we just want to make it clear to you. Can you hear conviction, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. You see, these friends were the minority, and the temptation to compromise would have been massive, but their godly connection, their godly conviction, and their godly communication gave them godly courage. Here's a statement I want you to write down. Get your phones out and take a photo of this. Ask yourself the question, do our connections bend our knee or strengthen our stance? Do our connections bend our knee or strengthen our stance? Because only four of them refused to bow. When an entire nation heard that sound, they bowed. Where were the people of God? Because we only know of four that refused to bow. Are there people standing next to us going, just get down, it's okay. It's just a couple of seconds. It's just one movie. It's just one conversation. It's called love. Apparently love is love. No, it's not. Come on, it's the schoolyard. It's the university grounds. Come on, it's a boardroom. You could lose the deal. Just bend your knee. It's just 30 seconds. We need connections that won't bend our knee. We need connections that will strengthen our stance. That when we feel like bending our knees, they pull us up. Say, no, take a stand. Together, godly courage. The fall of man was the result of poor connection, poor conviction, and poor communication. Notice this in Genesis 3:6, the woman was convinced. She bent her knee. She saw the tree was beautiful, its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her. Adam, what were you thinking, bro? And he ate it too. Instead of getting her to stop, he bent with her. And all of humanity has paid the price from someone who had poor connection, poor conviction, poor communication, and poor courage. Well, it's easier, right? It's popular. Everyone's doing it. I've not been popular preaching sermons like this, but God never put me on the planet for a popularity contest. We need people who will preach the word of the Lord. When we know what we stand for, we also know what we won't fall for. That's why we need to be a people of the word. If we're going to fight fire with fire, I'm nearly done. We don't need to live by convenience. We need to live with godly courage. Number five, this is my favorite point. I feel like running on the spot. The only reason I haven't been dancing, by the way, when we worship is because I broke a rib 2 weeks before I came here, and I'd love to tell you there was an intruder and I tackled him and I took him down. I was actually out in an open field with my 11-year-old daughter kicking a soccer ball. Nobody tripped me. I fell over, broke a rib. It's just sad. I'm just sad. But I still feel like running on the spot, okay? Poor Josh, he's broken a rib too, your worship leader. For those that are new, Josh is the worship leader. He sang his heart out with a broken rib. Could we honor Josh? He's been ministering all this time. Love you, man. Me and you, man. The woman take a rib from us, our kids break a rib for us. We just give us all the time, you and I, give us. Stop distracting me, Josh, come on. Daniel 3, this is my favorite bit, let's go. Scripture 19, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 3:19, was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. Can you see the modern era? He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter. Isn't the world foolish? It's a furnace. What's 7 times hotter gonna do other than affect you? Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up, threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire." I love this picture. We're just going to go there in a minute. "Unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell in, but they stepped out.
They stepped out of the fire. Then the high officer, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them.
It can't affect us. Had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Let me just quickly go through this, right? Our connections, convictions, communication, and courage may still land us in the fire, but all this will do is reveal Christ. And our world needs to see not compromising Christians. Yeah, the term Christian is Christ one. We're meant to walk like Jesus, right? There was a fourth man in the fire. Let me tell you a little story and then we're going to wrap up, all right? Little story. I used to play football, or soccer, as you would know it, many, many years ago. And I was a striker. I was a goal scorer. And I was a sook. I was just weak. What was the word you used before? Wuss. Well, that hurt, man. I was one of them. I can't even say it to myself. I was one of them, right? But I was a striker. I was a tagged man. People knew me. I scored a lot of goals. And so we're playing against this rival team. And the rival defenders, when the ball was on the other side of the pitch, were pulling the hair on the back of my leg. They're kicking me. They're just, you know, nudging me. They're pushing me. Back then, they probably would have broke my rib. But I was a lot stronger back then. And they're just intimidating me. And the truth is, I got intimidated, right? Until about 15 minutes into the game. Now, where our home ground was near a main road. And I hear the roar of 5 or 6 Harley Davidson motorcycles coming up the main road. And at that time, they didn't have all the stadium. They had these mounds where you could park your cars and park your bikes to watch the game from inside if it was raining. It wasn't raining that day, but I saw these Harley Davidsons come up and recognized they were my cousins. Now, I have Italian heritage. These were my cousins riding in on their Harley Davidsons, right? They rode in, they got to the gate. They told me later they got to the gate. They didn't realize they had to pay to get in. But they said, oh, we're John Fontana Rosa's cousins. They're like, oh, come in, just come in. And they let them in for free. And they rode up behind the goal on the mound and parked their Harley Davidson motorcycles, right? Well, what happened was I scored a goal. Goodness, you are making it hard work. I know it's the 8:30 crew. No, that's not what was intended to happen. I scored a goal, right? And we scored, and I wasn't like those flamboyant guys that kind of pull my top up and go, woo, and, you know, whatever, and all the stuff they do. I just would go back to the halfway line. But then I had a moment. We were literally about to kick off again, and I thought, and I ran back to where my cousins were, right? I said, boys, thanks for coming to the game, right? And I walked back. Past those defenders, they're my cousins. I'm telling you, they did not touch me for the rest of the game. I didn't need to do CrossFit like Pastor Byron, who's looking like a machine. I grew muscle on the spot, right? I was buff. I'm like, come near me. And if they tried, I'd go, my cousins are here. You know why I developed courage? Because of who was with me. Oh, man. Do you know who's with you? Do you know who conquered sin and death and shame and guilt and compromise and fear and doubt and uncertainty and all the fire does for a people that go into the fire and fight fire with fire is reveal that Christ is with us. A people of conviction, a people of communication, a people of divine connection. And do you see it? Let's come right around. Just skip to the end, guys, for me. Come right around. Because their godly connection carried a message. For those taking notes, just write these four words down. I'm not going to take the time today. Fire, F-I-R-E. The fire produces freedom. The ropes that bound them set them free. It's amazing when we go through fire seasons, the things that don't matter anymore, and we walk with a greater sense of freedom. The fire creates influence. The king and his entire nation were impacted. The fire creates, number three, resilience. They were unbound walking around in the fire. Have you ever thought of this? Do you realize they could have just walked out whenever they wanted? Have you seen this? They're just, I don't know what they're doing, but
they're walking around in the fire, in the furnace. I mean, what do you do?
They could. He said, come out, and they go, okay. I'm not making a joke of it, which means they were unaffected. Sometimes we're trying to get out of the fire too early when Christ is saying, stay in there because that's where everyone gets to see me. Right? Some of you are trying to get out of the fire and he's saying, no, wait till I call you out. Wait till the right time because it's in the fire that Christ is revealed. They developed influence, resilience, and then evangelism. And we come all the way back full circle. And they declared their identity. Can we put their four names back up again? Because in the fire, there's Daniel. And you know what they're saying to the world? God is my judge. God is grace. King Nebuchadnezzar, who is God? He's the Lord that helps. They were preaching through their connection, their conviction, their communication, their courage. And their message wasn't them. Their message was Christ, because he's the fourth man in the fire. Our world doesn't need more compromising Christians. It just needs more Christ ones that fight fire with fire. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. In a moment, I just want to pray, because I believe God is going to cause people to stand today. Some of you, there's a stand to take today. But before I do, it's going to take a moment because this is the most important thing I can do. If I came all the way from Australia just for you and for this moment, it's worth it. You might say, Jonathan, I'd love to stand on my convictions, but I don't even know who Christ is. The truth is that we all fell short of God's perfect standard. And we were disconnected from God because God is a holy and just God who cannot coexist with sin. And the enemy's intent was to take us to an eternal fire. That's a reality. The scriptures teach us that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Teaches us that even death won't bring relief in that part of eternity. It'll be suffering and torment forever. That was our destiny because of our sin and our brokenness and our separation from God. But the reason we're so passionate in this room is because we didn't save ourselves through good behavior. God himself chose to pay the price on our behalf. And in the person of Jesus, he came and lived a perfect life and died a criminal's death on a cross. He's not a mythical figure, he's a historical truth. He stepped into time. The eternal God stepped into time so that we who are bound by time could step into eternity with him. And he came and gave his life. His death was brutal. He was beaten beyond recognition. A Roman crucifixion was the worst death of all, but he did that to show us the horror of sin and the wonder of his grace. And so he paid the ultimate price on our behalf so that we would be set free from the fire and have eternal life with Christ. You might say, well, I want that. What do I need to do? I want eternal life. The Bible says God so loved the world. He so loved you, regardless of your background, that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not suffer eternal fire, but have eternal life. It's simple faith that Jesus paid the price on our behalf that gives us access to eternal life. So the wonderful truth is this, is that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, the scriptures tell us we will be saved. Saved from fire into eternal life. And the wonder of that side of eternal life is the Bible tells us there'll be no more tears, no more sickness, no more disease, no more weeping, just joy and life forevermore. We did not earn it, we simply receive it. And that's why we call it amazing grace, getting what we didn't deserve. This is the wonder. He came in the fire to take us from the fire. And today someone's going to get set free from the fire in this place through simple faith. What I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to lead us in a prayer and the entire church is going to pray with us together. And I'm going to lead that prayer. And those that are responding, I want you to pray that prayer from your heart. And this is the promise of the Word of God. In that moment,
your life is transformed forever and you secure your eternity. There's a journey of following Jesus, turning away from our sins, repenting of our past, and walking towards the abundant life that God has for us. And in this moment, church, in this moment, just be praying, because people's eternity is going to shift in this moment. And simple faith. So all I'm going to ask you to do, if you're in this place saying, I want to put my faith in Jesus, I want access to eternal life, I want to follow him all the days of my life, I thank him that he died for me and rose again so that I could have abundant life. Today, I want to put my faith in him. If that's you, then I'm going to simply ask you to slip up your hand. I'll see it. Then you can put it down again and we're going to pray together and usher you into eternity with Christ beginning from today. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I'll see it. Slip it up nice and high so I can see it. Thank you. God bless you. 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 Just keep those hands up. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Up in the balcony. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Right across this place, people making decisions. Thank you back there. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. What a great decision. The devil's losing again. Christ is victorious in this place. Anyone else in this place? Thank you. Down here, God bless you. Thank you so much. All those that raise your hands, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. All those that raise your hands, would you just raise them one more time just so I can look around, make sure I haven't missed anybody. Down here, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. How beautiful. We're going to pray together. Let's pray out loud together with boldness and confidence and courage as we confess with our mouth. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your goodness towards us. We're sorry for the sins we've committed. Today we repent. We have a change of mind and we promise to follow you all the days of our life. We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we promise to follow you all the days of our life. We thank you that you died for us and that you rose again so we could have eternal life. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.